Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all of His wonderful people that love Him and take Him at His word. The Lord needs His people to take Him at His word, obey Him. Obedience is something that's greater than sacrifice. The Lord told that to David. The Lord told that to King Saul. Saul, he kept part of the belongings of the Amalekite, and he didn't kill them all. He let some of them get away, and he didn't kill that king that he should have killed, according to God's word. And then when he brought back some of the livestock, the cattle, he said when he explained himself to Samuel, he said, "I brought back these to sacrifice." And the Lord and Samuel, but the Holy Spirit through Samuel told him, it's better, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, man puts most of the emphasis on giving. That's a principle. That's a good living principle. But there's something more important than that good living principle. That's to obey God. All those who obey God, step by step, they cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will be able to use them, in a much mightier way. And He can take them forward. Their hearts are receptive, and the Lord can do mighty works through them. And it'll be wise for Him to do it, because when we are structured right, we bear fruit after our kind. Now, we don't want to bear fruit that's not receptive to God's perfect will. People that settle for the permissive will, they can't raise people. They can't. Their fruit will be, it'll be hard for their fruit to go further than them. Like, see, every generation is supposed to come out stronger than the previous. And if you hold back from God, people that you instruct, they learn to hold back from God. It's not God's best. And so what's happened in the wide world is people have learned to hold back and not go forward when they could have gone forward and not held back. That's a learned behavior. And it's gone unchallenged in the world so long that when you tell people follow God, they say, "Well, I got saved, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I baptized people in water, some in Jesus' name, some in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But I do what my pastor said do. I'm following God." You know, and I noticed that whenever I would tell people to follow God, they would do more of what they already believed. But that's not what God was saying. And I tried to go back and clarify it. But I'm going to tell you something about following God. It takes faith and it takes courage. Just like when the church, when people are in church and somebody is not saved and they're among the Christians and they hear the message. And then, and it's explained, right? They receive the word and they want to get saved. All right, now they can detect that it's right and they want to get saved, but it's a challenge for them to get out of that seat and go down and publicly give their life to Jesus, because Satan is challenging them the whole time, because he knows that if they go through with it, they're going to feel the peace of God. See, Christians don't feel the same way as sinners do. If they're in the room sitting next to each other, people that have gotten saved, they know the peace of God. You know, if they try, they can remember it. If they've drifted. But a man that has never been saved has no reference of God. None. But when he makes Jesus his Lord, his spirit man is brand new, and you can feel it. But when you believe, whether you feel it or not, when you believe on Jesus Christ, you're his child. But when people, when they dedicate their whole life to God through Jesus Christ, you, that's a peace that comes on you, and you can tangibly feel it. And but people are different, and some may feel it, some may feel nothing. But there's a peace with it. And that peace is noticeable. And that peace is a witness that you've made the right choice, that you justified God. You said God is right in this. And you believe that he justified you. And you're thankful. Especially if you did a lot of sins. You're even more thankful. And you want to serve God. And you have that first love. And when people are around people who make light of the first love, and you know, they focus more on religious duties, they lose it. They have to struggle to remember it. But at the same time, they're still in the kingdom of God, which is great. But sometimes people groom people the way that they are. You know, in the 50s, people groomed their hair a certain way. And there wasn't many, most of the hairstyles were in a certain sphere. And but in the 60s, you know, they came out with wild hairstyles. And especially in the 80s when I grew up. I was born in the 60s. I grew up through the 70s. And I was a young man in the 80s. So hairstyles changed because people groomed their hair that way. You know, when I was grown, the Jerry curls had come out. And everybody had to have, they groomed their hair the same way. There's a persuasion in Christianity. Within the churches, there is a persuasion. We do it this way or we do it that way. And people feel odd if they do something different. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when the Lord guides you, you'll be more like the Old Testament prophets in your time. You'll be, when you learn who God is, you're going to see things from his perspective. It takes faith, just like it takes faith and courage and bravery to walk down that aisle to give your life to Jesus in the first place. The preachers that are used to being in God's presence, it takes the same kind of faith and bravery and courage to stick with the plan of God. I'm not talking about the permissive will. The permissive will is governed, it's shaped by the world. It's groomed by the world. It's groomed by the by what's accepted by man. It's not sinful, but it's not the best thing. It's far from it. Far from it. Because usually people are patterning themselves after what they've received as normal. But when you hear what the Holy Spirit said and you capture that word, and the Lord start training you for a purpose, he will prepare you. And along the way, he'll give you whatever gift you need to get the job done. And as long as you're in faith, he'll continue with it. And he will guide you. He will prepare you to receive things that you need to know. All of it, 100% of it, will be biblical. I'm not telling you that God's going to have you do something wild and unorthodox. All of it will be biblical. But the problem, the challenge is many people haven't entered into these biblical facts. The Lord, he will show you how to win particular people. He will show you whatever he called you to do. He'll prepare you for it. Man can't prepare you for it. No college can prepare you for it. Seminary schools and colleges can help you with character development. They can help you somewhat, but it's going to take the Holy Spirit. You got to go to his school too. Especially if you went to college. Because sometimes you learn things the wrong way, and then the Holy Spirit has to backtrack and correct some things. Now, and I won't know what that is, but I do know that along the way of life, the Lord had to correct me on some things. because I love people. I loved all the pastors that I had, all the teachers I listened to on the radio. But the some were more accurate than others. And some was just accurate. I thank God for them. But the Lord will teach you beyond those things. Sometimes the revelation that God has given me, I haven't heard it from anybody else. And people who are steeped in the Word of God, they don't, sometimes when I talk about it, they don't know whether to trust it or not. I can tell by the, you know, I go by the expression on their face, or they'll consider it. But they never heard anybody say something like, well, I got it from the Holy Spirit. And it makes sense. And sometimes it can make people feel uneasy. Well, you know, they're listening to something new. Think about it this way. When the Holy Spirit tells you something that you haven't heard before, that you can't judge it yet, but you can't find anything wrong with it. Now, how do you feel? Well, they feel no different. And I understand that. The same look that's on their face was on mine first. So I'm not saying that I'm better or any different. I'm just saying that sometimes you have to pick up what God is saying and make adjustments and go forward. If you can do that, you can go forward. And if you're looking at people to join the bandwagon that God put you on, you can forget it. The only people that can relate to what you're saying are people who went in His presence and they've learned some of the things. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in who to talk to about what. Sometimes he give me revelation and it's not time for me to share it. And when I want to talk about it, there's no peace to share it. See, you follow the peace. Kenneth Hagin talked, when he talked about being guided by the Holy Spirit, he taught people to follow the peace. Follow the peace. If you have a peace about it, it's real. Because the Holy Spirit will not give you peace about something that's wrong. That's false guidance, and He don't do false guidance. Now, if you want to do something so bad that you cause yourself, you can. Jeremiah pointed out, I forgot what chapter, I think it's around chapter 44 or 45. He told the people to build houses and let their children get married and take wives and live, because you're not going back to Israel. You'll never see that land again. You're going to live out your days in the land of Canaan. In Babylon, because they were in captivity. Because they didn't let the land lay out. They didn't keep the Shemitah. And they didn't keep it for a very long time. So God gave them they went into captivity. And they still got 7 years to go. That's the tribulation period. Daniel's 70th week hadn't been spent yet. But God, when he raptured the church, he's going to turn the clock back on. And they're going to finish the 7 years. And that's when God's going to judge everything. See, God has a system of righteousness that works. He's doing things systematically. And we're part of a much greater plan with a much greater cause. But he said, even when the prophets that tell you you're going back, then that's not true. Don't believe them. Then he said this. He said, don't even believe your own dreams that you caused yourself to dream. They wanted to go back home so bad they were homesick. They would dream about it, and then they would talk about it. And they really wanted to go. And then the false prophets would say that they're going back, and they would encourage each other with a lie. And nobody went back. He told them, you're not going back. Build houses and get married, take wives, and you're not going back to your land. And that's what they had to do. And not only were they under Babylonian captivity, along the way, here comes Media Persia, and they took over Babylon. So they had to finish those 70 years of captivity. And then it was a very long time before they started going back. And the time that Messiah will come, you know, Daniel said that when they built, from the time that they build the city, And he told how much time it would be before Messiah came. And do you know Jesus came exactly on that same year? From the time that Nehemiah started building the wall. It's all in there. The Lord has a plan. So when he gives you something to do, that means you have to do it. You have to take God at his word and not let people stop you. People that don't understand. They can't understand what God put in your heart. I believe nobody in the world will understand. Every step along the way has its own challenges. And it's just the way, you know, the perfect will of God is virtually an unknown way of God. Not in the sense of righteousness, but in the sense of the methods and specifics. You know, you ever wondered why Jesus would do a miracle and he would tell anybody, he'll tell people, don't go and tell anybody. You know, and then they go and tell everybody that he did this great miracle. And then the status quo would get mad and want to find a way to trap him with his words. And it'll cause problems that Jesus didn't have to have. Now that was a reason he did it that way. The perfect will of God. He would heal somebody and say, and tell no man. And they would be so happy that they can see or whatever it was, and they go tell everybody. He didn't make no reputation. And there's a reason for it. The blindness of Israel. Right here in this verse, before he explained the parable, verse 12 says, well, verse 11 says, this is Mark 4:11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Let me back up to verse 10, and that verse will make more sense. Verse 10 says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Now they hung around to ask him, you know, the meaning of this parable. Sometimes I do my pastor that way. He'll say something and I'll go back and, you know, I'll say something either to encourage or to get more understanding. You know, God does that. Even when he's speaking, I activate his anointing. And I ask the Lord questions while he's teaching. And especially when the Lord answers one of my concerns. Because some things that the Lord would say do, it may seem new to you. Now that was his plan from the beginning. But it's new to us. And so when that happens, I stay in faith about it and I open my ears to learn from the Lord. And he's going to use holy men and women of God to confirm it. Now they may not have all the revelation and I don't expect them to. But I receive what God gave me through them. And it helps me to stick to the plan. Because I know for a fact the Lord is going somewhere. You're going to have to do this. All right. So in verse 10, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing, now watch verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. The Lord had to blind them because they were not right from their heart. And when Adam bit off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord sent an angel with a fiery sword to protect the tree of life. Because if he would have eaten off of it, he would not have died. He would be alive today. And his body would look terrible. It would have been better for him to have been killed by that angel than to eat off the tree of life after he ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He would grow in sin and his body wouldn't die forever. Now, I don't know if he would have aged or not, but it wouldn't have been good for him. Now, Jesus did us a big favor. He died for us. Now, we get to live forever in righteousness. See, when people saw, when people want, when they turn their back to the gospel, the Lord does what they do. He can't help them. And there's nothing, you know, these things exist. These are facts. The Lord invites everybody, but everybody won't come. And then he has to deal with them accordingly. Now, I mentioned how when the Lord give me revelation, and then when I get around people that have hardened their heart against it, I have no peace to share that word. And sometimes the Lord have mercy on me and just cause me to forget all of it. It's like he put it in a suitcase and lock it up, and I can't get to it. And when I leave their presence, it all comes back. And I said in other broadcasts, that just used to make me scratch my head. I didn't understand it until recently, really. But you have to know these things about the Lord so that you can cooperate with it. It'll spare you from many unnecessary arguments and you know, when sometimes people don't want what you have to say. And the Holy Spirit knows this. So in following God, he'll cause you to do what's perfect. The Jews didn't want, they refused salvation. And when Peter, the Lord had to take Peter to another level. In Acts chapter 9 and 10, when the angel, Cornelius, was a Roman centurion that loved God, helped pay for a temple. He did as much as he knew. And the Lord wanted to save him. So that he sent the angel to go get Peter. And then he prepared Peter to minister salvation to him. But he was a Gentile. And the normal persuasion of the Jews was not to preach to the Gentiles. And Jesus said, preach to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles, to the Greek, and to people that are not Jews. So the Lord had to give Peter this vision while he was hungry, waiting to eat. He showed him all these different kind of animals, said, kill them. Peter, slay and eat. But these are unclean. I never ate anything unclean. And then the Lord said, what I have clean, called not that what I have clean, cleansed unclean. And the vision happened three times. And then the man came to the house. The men of Cornelius came to the house. And Peter and the Lord instructed Peter to go with them. And while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they got saved. See, the challenge was always there. And then when you read in the early books of Galatians, Peter was sitting with the Gentiles eating. And when the Jews came, he got up and went and sat with the Jews. And Paul called him out on it. Because the persuasion of the people was not for Jews to associate with Gentiles, even though they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Paul called him out on it because he was a leader. And he rebuked him openly for it. Now, I'm telling you, the perfect will of God, it takes the same kind of faith, courage, bravery, and determination as it does for a man to get out of his seat and go down publicly and confess Jesus is his Lord. There is a persuasion against it. You might as well get ready for it. But what you do, I used to confess that I will do all that's in God's heart. Or I will confess that as long as I do what God say, I'm all right. And I tried to explain my work to others. It didn't work out good. They didn't know what I was. They didn't understand it. The people like to put a label on everything. God called me to be an apostle. All right. In their mind, I just wanted to be somebody that I wasn't. But I had the anointing for it. And the Lord proved it to me. So I just say, okay, well, that's what I am. I didn't ask for it, but it's a grace. And I want to use it faithfully, just like David wanted to use his position as king faithfully. And, you know, and whoever thought that I was trying to show out, they were dead wrong, because I don't care about all that junk. I never did. And I said, I could feel people saying, well, he's just pretending he's an apostle or something. No, it's much deeper than that. They wasn't there. They didn't see what I saw. They didn't see the visions. They didn't see the dreams God gave me. They don't know what they're talking about. Whether they believe me or not is irrelevant. But what God did, you know, I got the revelation for it. If I go back on it, I'll be a liar. If I say, well, you know, God didn't call me to be an apostle, I would be lying. Because I know that I know by revelation of God and by what he's done in my life and all the people that were receptive. I know the things that he calls me to do is way beyond me. I can't do that unless I'm anointed. And neither can you. You don't have to prove your position. You don't have to prove what God called you to do or be. Just do the work and enjoy it. Do the work and enjoy the ride. Because it's good, folks. But that people's opinions are shaped by the world. And you know, the last broadcast, we made it down to the stony hearts, and then we touched on the heart, the seed that was sown among thorns. And I'm gonna go back to verse 17, same book, because we spent pretty good time on the stony ground. On the last one. So we're going to pick up here in verse 17. So we don't have but a few minutes left. Alright. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure before a time. Afterward, when affliction persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And the way you kill that is to receive more word in your heart. And you can break up. You know, one scripture says, break up your fallow ground. Yeah, that scripture said, break up your fallow ground. You can control whether your heart is soft or hard. And whenever I feel reluctant about anything that God gives me to do, I work on making the adjustments I need. If I notice that the Lord is trying to show me something or add to my character or help me understand something, then I say, what is it, Lord? What is? And I soften my heart so I can receive it and do it. And just like Charles Capps used to teach, I speak it. I say, I will cooperate. I love God's will. I trust him. And I don't trust my old ways. I don't trust what I've seen as much as I trust God. I make any kind of confession I need to soften my heart so the word can get in. But when the stony, you know, when there are stones around, it's hard for the word to take root. And I get, you know, one scripture said, cast down imaginations and all the things that exhaust itself against the knowledge of God. Another scripture says, casting down imaginations. That's like throwing rocks out of your heart. Casting down imaginations. All the you know, Jeremiah said, Lord, I can't preach, I'm a child. And the Lord said, say not you're a child. And he stopped saying he was a child. And he could have took it a step further, which he probably did, and said, I am a man of God, and I am not a child. Now that's a confession of faith, and that will, because he pulled it off. He did everything God said do. Even when he got low and didn't want to do it anymore and he got depressed, he said, I'm not going to teach anymore. But it was like fire shut up in his bones. See, when you endeavor to follow God, all the stops are off. What you're doing, it will take precedence over everything that the old way has nothing to do with the new way. And you will expose the lies of the old ways of doing things for what they are. 100% of the time. You're going to go against the grain. You're going to swim against the river of this world. And you're going to expose the lies and darkness that people have received. You're going to expose the rocks in their heart for what they are. But when the word grows deep, then you can go forward with what God gives you to do. And you'll contend for the faith. You won't just believe it, but you will do it and contend for the faith. Now the next one, we're going to get to the seeds that's sown among thorns. Because the chaos of this world is another problem. You're going to have to learn, just like we all do, we have to learn not to depend on what we see, not to depend on the world, the praise of men, the acceptance. We don't need anybody's acceptance. David encouraged himself in the Lord from his heart. He encouraged himself in the Lord when everybody wanted to kill him. And they were his people. When your people don't believe in you, you're going to have to believe in yourself. One scripture said Jesus' brothers didn't even believe in him. But they came to a point that they did believe. See, when you do what you're supposed to do, people will catch on later. This is how it always was. But if you got to have everybody's opinion and everybody's to accept you and believe in you, you might well sit down. If you do the permissive way, you're just part of the crowd. But if you go forward in the perfect will, you're going to see God moving. If you settle for the permissive will, you're not going to live as good, and you may not live as long. And people will die that shouldn't die. And you'll have problems that you can't solve because you stepped out of the perfect will of God. It's not punishment, it's sowing and